This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Are you dog enough, or would you be, to start Kyle Pitts tonight in fantasy?
No, he's out.
You're done with him, or he's just for now?
No, he's been benched.
You're benching him.
Do you have this problem? Listen, we over at Tunsil's Gas Mask World HQ, we don't stand for zeros.
Andrews, too?
You're going to throw a zero up. Listen, you're at least sitting down until you make me feel it.
Right.
Especially if I've got the mighty Pat Freiermuth sitting behind
you. Oh, the Muth is loose. You're hoping. I look at it like this. I have lots of Pitts teams that I just, every week, it's a headache. But bench him, and he, to whatever extent this is realistic, goes off, fine. A sign of life. We'll see you next week, maybe.
Exactly.
If you start him with everything that's happened and he bagels, you're going to hate your weekend.
Right.
You're just going to be miserable for 48 hours. Why did I do that? That's not how you want to be.
We didn't even have a meeting about it. Owen looked at the lineup because we share it. My son and I share this team. He looked at the lineup last night. He's like, hey, you put Freiermuth in for Pitts. I'm like, yes, I did. That's it. We are not having a conversation about changing that back either. Just keep moving. Close your app and just get out of here.
I put the tight end on the other side of the field tonight in over Pitts and on a team, Cade Otten. So I raise you. With us now on the Westshore Hotline is Joe Ostrowski. BetQL Daily can be heard weekdays from 9 to noon. BetMGM Game Day 8 to 11 Sunday mornings with Jason Lockenfora. You can check it all on the Odyssey app or the Bet 1520 here in Buffalo.
Joe, Jason's got to be just inconsolable about the Orioles. Like, he's just,
yes.
When things are going well, he's a maniac when it's going well on Twitter. Like, they got eliminated, he must be just burning things.
I mean, between the debate and between the Orioles, like, it's a whole lot going on over there. I can't wait to talk to him on Sunday morning. See, he's looking for any sign of negativity to shred that team anyways. So, yeah, they gave it to him once again, getting swept out in the wild card round.
What do you think of the format?
I like it.
You do?
Yeah, I actually do. And I understand after 162 the people that don't, but I like the fact that there are no breaks. Boom, boom, boom. You didn't get a top two seed in your league. This is what you have to deal with. And some of you, you're going to have to go on the road for it. It really tests teams, and especially teams like the Braves and Mets that we're dealing with Monday, too. Most of the time, it ends up how this panned out, where most of it is sweeps, surprisingly. So I believe the number now, I was curious if it was going to happen again, and it did. So three of the four are sweeps. So now it's a small sample, but 17 out of the last 19, actually that's just as long as it's been in this format, 17 out of 19 times, game one winner ends up advancing.
Well,
now,
okay.
Sometimes that's a favorite, sometimes that's a dog. This year, it tended to be a lot of underdogs there. But I applaud teams like Kansas City not saving their starter for a potential game three. Let's go end this thing in game two. And we know what baseball is, how it's chaotic, how you want to take the underdogs, and it lends to chaos. So I'm actually all for it. And I like that there's a lot more motivation to get that one or two in the regular season.
You know, this isn't a big point, but I mentioned this yesterday on our show. I liked, I don't know, aesthetically, it's not even the right word for it, I don't think, that the games were in the same order every day. And I assume that would have been the case for game threes if there were four of them instead of just the one. It gives me comfort to, like, there's an order to this. Okay, this game is on now. This I'm going to get home, and this one is going to be going on still. And, like, that works for me. I don't like when it's all moved around because we want to get this team on at night and all that kind of stuff. Just here's the schedule. Let's go.
Maybe that's just for us because we talk about them a little bit, and so we know exactly when the games are going to be played. But, yeah, and then for the people that, let's say, they only have time to watch the last couple of games, they get used to certain teams. They have a feel for the series a little bit. Yeah, I did enjoy that as well.
We never mention, though, or think about the true TV loyals who are watching their, I guess, crime dramas 24/7, and then the NCAA tournament butts in, or baseball, like, one yesterday afternoon, wasn't it? Or maybe it's Saturday. I know I saw True TV on the on the menu here.
That's
at
coming
some point.
In the divisional series. Okay. I think the American League divisional series is on is on TBS, True, and Max. Maybe is the third carrier.
Max.
Oh, Max.
Yeah, which saves me because my streaming service of choice does not have the TNT TBS family. But I do have a Max subscription, so I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to be able to watch these games if I want to.
Yeah, we're not spending enough money.
No,
we need more subscriptions so we can just watch sports. You know, all of this is just a pain in our backsides. We're going to end up back to where we were with one cable service that whichever one tells me that they have everything, that's the one I'm going to. Right. If there's a company that comes out and has that, that's where I'll be.
It's never going to happen. I think. Well, the teams are streaming their own things. Like, there's the Gotham sports thing happening with, even the Sabres are in on that. MSG, and yes, for the New York teams, they print money. The Sabres are probably laughing, but they print money, and we'll just, it's gone that way forever. Yeah. We're going to put our own websites. You're going to come to us for what you think is news and the broadcasts, and this is just the next step, I think. So I don't know the way out, Joe. I mean, will you say how many subscriptions for of this type do you have? I might be at like 8 and madness.
So I had to, because my provider does not have the Marquee Network, and the Marquee Network here carries all the Cubs games, so I eventually caved and got that. And the other day, on Tuesday, they launched the Chicago Sports Network, which is the new network that is going to carry the Bulls, the winter sports, the Bulls and the Blackhawks. Nobody has it yet, but it's out there. It's broadcasting somewhere to a few people out there. It's it's a disaster. 8? I would think it's got to be more, right?
It might be. I'm not really counting, but it's just a lot. Yeah. It's out of control.
Yeah. This conversation reminds me of, if anyone would ever ask me, have you ever told up all the money you spent on goalie equipment for your son? Like, no, and I don't want to. Thank you very much. I don't ever want to toll that register because it will melt my brain. I feel like the same thing if I go in and you're like, oh, we have that still? Oh, we have that's 8-9. What are I doing? Who's watching Acorn? What are we doing Acorn in this house?
Is this my version of this? Is how many fantasy teams?
Yes.
They're not free.
Joe's baseball bats.
Is it really?
Oh,
I didn't know this.
Every year, the kids have to get the baseball bat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They're all $500 now.
Yeah.
Kids' equipment. Yeah, like Bulldogs' example. Sure. Joe Ostrowski on the West Shore Hotline. We were talking a bit ago about the Thursday night game. By the way, throw Amazon Prime on the pile if you want, if you want to watch Thursday night football. This really was Bulldog's point, so apologies. But is the sort of the logic or even the data that Thursday night games are kind of raunchy, was that even your word maybe, baked into the numbers? Like, is it true, or should maybe we look at this a different way?
I think they went out of their way to make them better, right? At least a little more appealing.
The matchups.
They're second tier, as far as the matchup. Were you suggesting style of play with?
Yeah, I'm just suggesting the short week, and like guys just aren't at their best, and like so you just don't get the best product. That's all. No matter who the teams are.
Yeah, and we tend to get that with the London games, which we're getting this week as well. No matter what level of team. So the Monday nights, they went out of their way to make those better, and I think they will be over the course of the season. But this one, you're right. Like, The other day we were talking top five teams in the NFC, and nobody put an NFC South team in there, which I think is certainly fair, even though maybe it's more competitive and a bit surprising. The Bucs are better than we expected. I'd say the same thing about the Saints. And then the Falcons are a little disappointing, just like they are every single year, even though people hype them up and they talk about the soft schedule. And you look at them like, okay, I heard about this great offense that was going to be unleashed this season. It seems to be very similar to the results that they were getting with Arthur Smith. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. But as far as this one, it's Falcons a short favorite. It's been around 1.5. Total 43.5, 44. It's been bouncing back and forth today. Surprisingly, these two teams play very high-scoring games. I figure with divisional matchups, my instinct is to go to the under, but that seems a little dicey with the way these teams have been playing each other of late. Injuries, a huge story with the Bucs, and they're still having a level of success. Backup receivers, third and fourth guys are out. Winfield, too, and Kancey, a couple of impactful players, but they've been winning without those guys. The offseason story was, well, how do you replace Canales? They've been just fine with Liam Cohen calling the plays. So, yeah, on the Falcons side, their center going on IR, that certainly hurts. But I think there are some player prop angles when it comes to this matchup. My partner Sam on the show, BetQL Daily, he's big on the Bucks for this one, and I certainly understand the case. I'm staying away from the side in total, guys.
I guess I could have made the question a lot simpler just by saying the under, you know, like that's what I'm thinking. Is it baked in? Like, yeah. Will a Thursday night total necessarily be just docked 2 or 3 points?
Yeah. Historically, Thursday nights, you do have the under, you do have the favorite kind of running away. We saw that last week, of course. But that was my first reaction. And then I looked at how these teams have played each other. And especially in Atlanta, they've been higher scoring games. I know that was on full rest, but I got to be honest, I did hesitate on the under. Even though you have Cousins, who has really struggled, and you do have that matchup of the success of Baker, and you still have those top two wideouts, and Bucky Irving, all of a sudden it looks like he's getting a bigger role in that offense. Going against a weak Falcons defense that does not create any pressure, sure, I could see it. My concern would be that Todd Bowles has its way and the Falcons, okay, maybe they don't score, but maybe the Bucs end up scoring enough to bring that total to the over.
I've got it to 2.5, by the way, for Atlanta at BetMGM, so maybe that's a little bit of a move. You know, Joe, so when making a call on an over-under, thinking of last Thursday night's game, Dallas and the Giants, and I had bet the under in that game, which hit. But it wasn't like a no-brainer. You know, a couple of field goals get missed maybe, or there's an interception. I mean, I can think of things that happen in a football game that feel good when you have the under. A team drives for 5 minutes, then they fumble or something, and 0-0. Is there a way that you like for trying to predict it? I mean, is there certain statistics, like red zone percentage or something that you like? Or is there some other way? How do you find yourself getting to a side over or under generally?
Yeah, honestly, I am not the biggest totals player. Okay. It happens once in a while, and a lot of times it ends up occurring when we have change at the quarterbacks, these backups. I mean, the starter quarterback play has been pretty putrid this season, and then you look at the backups and the, you know, in some situations, the third quarterback in Miami now is doing. Look at these totals. That tells the story of what's happening in the league this season. It used to be every week we had a couple of exciting games that you would think would be shootouts. They're in the 50s. This week, zero games are in the 50s. We have zero games above 47. Even Baltimore, Cincinnati. Okay, that's been bumped up during the week. Now that's up to 49. But we have Miami, New England, right, hanging in the mid-30s. Vegas, Denver, mid-30s. It's like football went back, I don't know, to when we were younger, watching the games with the amount of scoring and how that's changed. So pace of play, available players, which the injury reports have just been reeled from the start of the season. But, yeah, frankly, I'm not the biggest totals player.
Okay.
How do you feel about the Bills coming off of getting trounced by Baltimore on the road against Diggs and Houston? So Josh Allen and the Bills off a loss on the road against, you know, a a very good 3-1 Houston team.
Yeah, very good. A very good team that has not beaten the spread yet. They are winless against the spread. So it kind of tells you, that would tell me, okay, the market, the betting market is overrating them a little bit. The number is a little off. They'll eventually figure it out. But right now, it seems to be, maybe they seem to be getting a little bit too much respect. Now, last week, we're talking about at home, divisional matchup. It ends up being 5.5. Earlier in the week, it was 7. Even though Jacksonville is playing some awful ball, that number looked too big. And the sharp bettors were betting it down because the number was too big for a divisional matchup with a desperate Jaguars team. They're close, they cover, but they don't win in the end. This was Buffalo -1 a week ago, and then it came down a little bit, and now we're back there. We're back there at the Bills -1 at Houston. Just based on what we saw on Sunday night, I do like the Bills. Spot-wise, this is one where I would go in that direction, backing the Bills. I do have some questions about the Texans secondary. But yeah, I mean, last week, it's hard because we haven't been in that position. You guys know better than anyone, very often before,
right,
where the Bills are getting trounced. So how are they going to respond with this coach, with this quarterback, since it's happened so few times? I mean, a lot of examples in the NFL with certain coach quarterback combinations. We have a sample size of how they react, how they respond to those types of games. And history tells us that they do cover the spread. When a team, you know, I saw people talking about the Arizona game where you don't cover the spread by 30 plus. They were smoked by Washington. The next week, they tend to cover the last 30 times, like better than 70% of the time. And that's the case that some people are making with Arizona at San Francisco. And I guess you could say just about the same thing with Buffalo in this spot.
For what it's worth, and Mike mentioned this earlier, and I just checked to make sure earlier in the week. I mean, the last time the Bills got rolled was November 21st of 21 against Indy, 41-15. The next week, short week too, Thanksgiving, mm-hmm, in New Orleans, they beat New Orleans 31-6.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's very rare. Yeah. It's how long it's been since the Bills lost a game by more than 6 points in the regular season, an NFL record, 43 straight. So is the bottom line here, maybe when you have it's still only four games, Joe, but the Texans 0-4 against the spread, is it maybe they're a little bit overrated perception-wise, that the line is giving them too much credit?
Yeah, early in the season, they were viewed as, okay, shortlist Super Bowl contender, C.J. Stroud, shortlist MVP contender. That it looks a lot different when you go from facing the soft schedule that they had last year, a surprise team, not much tape on the offense, right? And then now you ratchet that up, you're dealing with a tougher schedule, you're a target, tough game week after week after week. Yeah, that's how I view it, and it happens in the league every single year when you go from last place, nobody paying attention to you, and now first place, everybody's watching out. Like, you're that scary team that they need to look out for.
You mentioned the MVP there with Stroud. What's your latest perception of the market there?
Yeah, so we had movement again, obviously, off that Sunday night game, and Josh Allen was the favorite a week ago, and he falls to the second favorite. So they just swap it with Patrick Mahomes, of course, and that's still the case where they're on a tier by themselves. But interesting that third favorite spot, like that start of that second tier, they put Lamar there because of the performance, because national TV against Josh Allen, all those reasons. But it feels like they're always docking him a little bit. And the reason is the third MVP thing.
Yeah.
That is such rare air. And the idea is that the voters, unless they have to, they're probably not going to give it to Lamar for a third time, because then he's Peyton Manning. You know? That now you're in that stratosphere.
But does it matter, Joe? Excuse me. Does it?
No, go ahead.
Well, does Patrick Mahomes really, though, ever need to play a good game again to win the MVP this year? Is that just because that's the flip side of your Jackson argument, which I agree with. So does Bulldog. We've talked about that a lot because Allen is so interesting here. But they would put Mahomes in that club, like with what he's done in the league so far. But like, he doesn't seem to have a good game anymore.
I'm with you. he's the favorite by default. Okay, so as far as what the betting market is saying, they're not saying that Patrick Mahomes has been the best quarterback this year. What they're doing is protecting themselves because they know what he can do. They know that eventually some of these guys are going to be healthier, and maybe they make some additions. There's been some rumors there. But they know that at some point he's going to go on a tear, and if, let's say, they make him the third favorite, he's the same number as Lamar Jackson. He's 10-1. Everybody's betting that. And then they have a lot of liability. So they're not saying that he would win right now.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to move him down too much because if he's 5-1, let's go halfway to Lamar. 5-1, a ton of people are just going to bet on Mahomes.
Yeah,
makes sense. Jackson is having a better year than last year. If that, it doesn't matter, I guess, to this.
And
or at least
Darnold has the same odds as Lamar.
Yeah. I can buy that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can buy that happening. Is it still, we talked to Sam, I guess it's 2 weeks ago now, I brought up Darnold and the MVP, and his problem was, and you'll know this, it had been way better odds before the season started, of course.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's right. You don't want to bet after what it's like after the shift.
Right.
But it's also still maybe pretty good, and they're undefeated.
And you have a lot more information now. Yeah, that's the thing. Do you have them as the best team in their division, which is probably the best division in football? I mean, power ratings-wise, most people want to put three of those teams maybe in the top 10 in the league. I mean, I would certainly be open to that. And then now we're not having the debate with all the talking heads. Interesting, because of the record. But watching, it feels like Purdy's better this year. And he has.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Has to be, because he doesn't have it. It's not perfect all around him. We'll probably get to that point in the season where people are screaming about Brock Purdy, but that's decent too at 15-1. I saw there were some crazy bets in the offseason on Darnold that somebody put a couple $100 on him at 250-1.
That's not bad.
That's tasty.
Is that 50?
Yeah.
Is that 50? Imagine having that.
The thing, you know, a part of the thing with Purdy for me would be, I'm guessing that it just wears you out eventually. Like you definitely want to be. Oh, last guy picked in the draft. They gotta turn to this guy. They have no choice. Oh, look at all this talent around him. Look at the coach. Look at all this stuff. And it's a little like Brady 25 years ago. Like it keeps happening. He keeps doing it, and you keep watching him. You're like, okay, I guess I got to bring him some flowers at some point or another and just stop, you know, treating him like he was the last pick in the draft, which he was, but that doesn't mean anything now he's playing.
He wears you out.
Right.
Yeah, the people wear me out. It got to a point last year where I was like, okay, it's never going to happen, but can we just stop? We can just stop with the same narrative with Purdy. He's a legitimate quarterback. And the evaluation was wrong coming out of college. It was, and we kind of see that, right, with these players that are getting all that experience. Case in point, Jaden Daniels, they are so far ahead of some of these other quarterbacks that have limited experience coming out of college.
It's always he's in a perfect situation, Purdy.
Yeah.
Well, so was Mahomes. You know, I mean,
so's Goff.
Right.
Goff. Real quick, Devontae Adams thoughts. I don't know if you can bet that somewhere. I'm sure you can.
I did see it somewhere. Obviously, the Jets are the favorite with all the noise there. How much does he change things? I thought it was interesting last week. Now, it's tough to tell what he's worth to the point spread because Crosby was part of that. But the Raiders were favored early in the week, and at the end of the week, the Browns ended up being the favorite in that game, and then the Raiders end up taking care of business. The Jets, you had to lay a bit of a price, I believe, where they were the favorite. Of the teams, I was just looking at that list, and I don't have it in front of me, but All the teams that have been brought up, whether it be the Commanders, the Chiefs, and all that, those are the ones near the top of the board. Saints as well. But as far as just entertainment, what I would like, how about the team that people were complaining about doing nothing all offseason?
Dallas.
Yes. 18-1 Dallas Cowboys. Imagine CeeDee Lamb on one side, Devontae Adams on the other. They have a number of defensive injuries, and maybe they combat that by winning shootouts. It would be fun from my perspective.
Oh, my gosh. What I care about here is fantasy football. Yeah. A couple of these spots are disastrous. Like the Jets, I mean, cancel Garrett Wilson, I guess, at this point, if you haven't already. But right. Dallas, I think Lamb would be immune to that, and they really just don't have anybody other than Ferguson that's relevant on that offense. So I feel like Prescott could sustain Lamb and Adams
Saints,
if they
would
did
it be
that.
Great. Commanders would be fun, I think.
Yep.
Right?
It would, fantasy-wise. I don't know. You know, probably bad, but that's a very interesting story right now, Joe. And we'll see if we can get to that next week. Thanks for your time today. Good luck in week five.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily, and BetMGM Game Day Sunday mornings on the BetQL Network via the Odyssey app and the Bet 1520. Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, Khalil Shakir. You guys only talk about receivers. You could also break that trend by calling in 803-0550 with your takes. Sal will join us at 5, Paul at 6. The Sabres open tomorrow with pregame at noon. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, they got a lot of guys who arguably can be a number one receiver on the team, so it definitely opens it up. You can't really go in there and sit here and say, oh, I'm going to double this guy or double this guy, because, like, well, you're putting somebody else in the dilemma. It's got guys that you got to win your matchup and just compete.
Rasul Douglas. He and Christian Benford have been fine at outside corner, boundary corner, which you never really needed to expand upon corner. Until slot corner became an actual, almost full-time position. So now we have to clarify.
Yeah.
Or just don't.
I don't think it's necessary. I think slot corner needs to be designated slot corner. The other corners, I don't need the boundary, but I understand it's just an easy point of clarification so that there's no confusion. Oh, where does he play predominantly? Well, if he didn't play outside, I would have said slot. But whatever. Just more words. Just kills more
Football
time.
Football loves.
Just kills more time.
It's words.
Hey, I don't know what it's worth to anyone at all. I came across the PFF quarter poll, whatever, four games into the season. Here's our all-pro team. Christian Benford got the nod there.
So seems reasonable.
He's great. Yeah, he and Douglas both have been grading out excellent. Benford better than Douglas.
Did you see the whole team?
I did, but I didn't.
I didn't. James Cook?
I don't believe so.
I doubt it.
I think the only... It might have only been defensive. The image I saw was maybe just defensive players.
Von Miller?
No.
Come on, he had a sack in each of their first three games.
I remember
playing
that.
Like 10 snaps or something.
I remember that, yeah.
He's a loss too, though. If Oliver misses now, it's funny if they... Not funny at all, but, you know, if they get Johnson back or even Bernard too, and then have these injuries happen, just kind of keeps things.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get Johnson back this week anyway. I think he's coming. Obviously, he's practicing, but he's not doing anything with that arm at all, physical. Like, I don't think he can take any kind of hit on it yet. So he might be like Bernard was last week. Bernard was back last week, non-contact, but he was practicing. Now he's at a full go posture, so I'm pretty optimistic about Bernard being back. Johnson, I feel like, is going to be another week. I don't have any intel on that. I'm just reading the tea leaves. What he's not doing, I think, tells you a lot about where he's at right now.
Sal will get the chance to expand on that coming up in about half an hour. You're welcome to join us now. 803-0550 is the number. Houston. You know, a lot sort of relatively negative has been said about the Texans, who they haven't beaten, how they haven't covered. You know, Joe Ostrowski's talking along the same lines, no pun intended. Do they maybe, though, have the best set of three receivers in the NFL? Can you think of a team that's better off 1-3? Dell, so Tank Dell last year, beginning of the season, nobody thinks the Texans are going to be anything. Collins had his fans. He'd been in the league. Stroud's a rookie, and so is Dell. And running backs, it was Pierce, and then it was Singletary, actually. Right. But, okay, whatever. And Tank Dell became a story early on last season. And who's this guy? You know, a mid-round pick, if that, last year. But looked like he was really good. And then he gets injured on a goal line rush. He wasn't the ball carrier, but he's blocking. He's very small. He's used as a blocker on a goal line rush and breaks his leg, out for the season. Comes back this year. They add Diggs. Collins has been a star. He leads the league by more than 100 yards so far this season in receiving yards. Diggs has had a couple of games, gotten in the end zone. He's been productive. Dell, it really hasn't hit yet. Five catches, and he missed one game, too, last week. But really just has not been productive yet this season. I still think the Texans should want to get there with him because of how good he was before his injury. But, you know, even in the Bills' case, that's something everybody, you know, can do more, and you sort of want that for everybody. But on each one of these plays, somebody else isn't getting the ball.
Yeah.
I think Dell should be a priority. Maybe this is the matchup with Johnson out again, if he's healthy, where, yes, they might want to run the ball because of how the Bills' defense is played, but I bet they want to get this guy going.
Yeah.
And he's good enough to warrant that.
I still feel like they'll be doing me a favor if they try to run it. I mean, knock on wood here and hope that that doesn't come back to haunt me or them. Not that they're the ones saying it. You know, you say, three receivers makes it interesting. Because I can think of duos that I would say I like more than any two of their guys you want to pick, like Collins and Dell, or Collins and Diggs, Dell and Diggs if you want, although I wouldn't leave Collins out of it. So it's him and one of the other two. I feel like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, I think I like that better. But
Hill and Waddle?
Yeah, right. But who's the third guy? Jahan Dotson, the third guy is Robbie Chosen in Miami. Like, who are we talking about, right? Detroit, St. Brown and Jameson Williams. That looks pretty hot. Okay, who's the third guy? You know, the tight end's really good, but the receiver-wise. So I feel like Houston going three deep like that is hard to beat.
Seattle would be...
Yeah, maybe.
Consideration there, I think, for me.
Metcalf, Lockett, and JSN.
Yep. If you count tight ends, then you get to the Lions.
Yeah.
Although they've stopped throwing to him, weirdly. You know, they're doing all right, 3-1. San Francisco would be another one if you did that.
Yep.
I don't think I want to do that. That wasn't the question. Including tight ends.
San Francisco's third guy is sneaky pretty good, isn't he?
Well, maybe. It's the Niners. It happens when the other guys are not on the field. One way or another, somebody puts up a huge day. It's not Ayuk yet.
No.
Not at all. So they have Arizona on Sunday. Green Bay has four guys that are good to great. Now Christian Watson is hurt, and so Dontavian Wicks moves up. And he was excellent last week in that role. All right, there's a little bit of around the NFL, but that's tomorrow. Around the league in a dash is tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
Kind of just did some of that.
Yeah. It's never a bad time to dash.
So true. Will you watch the Sunday morning game?
Absolutely.
Jets-Vikings. It's good.
Yeah.
How about this? The league got lucky with this one, with Darnold against the Jets as a story. Rodgers fits within that, too. Played a lot against Minnesota in his career. And Aaron Jones on the other side of the field from Rodgers in that game. Are the Vikings for real?
I think so. I would understand. I'm usually slow. Like, I was like this, I think I said the other day, I'm done doubting Geno Smith, right? I'm done holding his New York, both New Yorks, against him. He ended up on the Giants at one point, too.
Yes.
Like, he's got it. Right, whatever changed, or nothing changed. He just got in the right system, and he's got it. And I feel like the system that Darnold is in, like, he's just facilitating it. Everything's working so well. And their defense is maybe a bigger story than him. I mean, just, you know, when you hear players talking about Like, I've never seen that. I don't even know what's going on out here. Purdy was talking like that after they lost to Minnesota. I think they're real.
Stroud did terribly against them.
Yeah.
But the Bills don't really blitz. Maybe this is the week to do some of that.
Maybe.
Easy to say. Oh, well, Minnesota. Brian Flores. It should work for us.
Right. Do what they did.
Rodgers has never faced him. He was an assistant in New England, and Rodgers' teams played against those teams. He was a position coach.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not a coordinator. So Rodgers has never faced him as a coordinator or head coach, Brian Flores. But one of the stories in the league, MGM, BetMGM has Minnesota only at +120 to win at least 12 games. That they are optimistic for the Vikings. They're buying it.
Yeah.
They're buying Darnold. Betters. If not for MVP. The thing about MVP, and this, you know, pertains to Allen, of course, it will be different if, at least in terms of the last decade, if the winner is not a quarterback, so it'll almost definitely be a quarterback. It'll be different if the winner didn't win at least 12 games. Like one seed or two seed, mm-hmm. Been saying that a lot over the course of the summer. That's what, I mean, there's a logical case for Allen being set up to win. And so far this year, it's generally been this way, where he's the Jacksonville game. He's throwing the ball to everybody. It's all working. Even with a hand injury, his rushing is still there. All of it looks so good on him. And there's no Stephon Diggs to get more of the credit than, you know, what right. What this is you know, Allen is going to get most or all of the credit and the coordinator, but, you know, still. And that sets up well for him. But for me, the pushback on that was always they'd better
get to 12.
Run the conference.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I thought with their schedule, they probably wouldn't do that. I would still say that if they do, he wins. I mean, Mahomes is not putting numbers up at all.
Right.
But, you know, if he doesn't and the Vikings win 13 games and Darnold right now, what, he leads the league in touchdown passes, if that continues?
Right.
Jackson won as second year, and everybody learned of how spectacular he was and is as a runner. He led the NFL in touchdown passes that season. You know, unanimous winner.
Right.
First seed, that stat, and then the highlights – You win.
Right.
And wasn't even close.
Yeah, Darnold's not going to have, obviously, the highlights, the running anyway, because he does not have that in the bag at all. So that's something Allen has over him, you know, if it gets to be, you know, a race between the two of them. But certainly, yeah, the team's fortunes are going to matter. It probably definitely doesn't hurt. I don't know how much it helps that Allen is the offensive player of the month. For September. Is that just an AFC? Do they have those for each conference? Okay. So, yeah, Darnold got it in the NFC. So, still, you know,
race
it's another feather in the cap. He got a player of the week, now a player of the month. And, you know, it's not like he was incredible. His numbers look good, but, like, the games, he didn't have to do a ton in – well, he really didn't do anything in the Ravens game, although he did make that incredible pass to Shakir. But – you know,
that's right.
The Miami game was kind of an easy chair, really.
139 yards, maybe, yeah. That game. The race is on. Josh Allen, Sam Darnold. Good spot for Darnold. I mean, it's in the morning, but it's an island game, and the Jets' defense is good. Like, if he
mm-hmm.
outplays Rodgers and they win, that's big for him, I think. 803-0550, Sal in 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll look for your calls again after this timeout. This is WGR. The Bills face C.J. Stroud, who today turns 23 for the first time Sunday. The rare 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon game. Bills at Texans. Then back to normal next week.
It's Monday night football again.
Monday night. It is true, Kirk Cousins, I mentioned it earlier, that Falcons play Tampa Bay in the Thursday night game. Way different team results, at least, for Cousins over the course of his career. He has a rep. It would be like the Winfield equivalent if on Pro Football Reference you went and it said Primetime Kirk or
Primetime
something like
Kirk. That. Right. Right.
It doesn't. I would like to think that it doesn't.
It probably does not say Primetime Kirk there, no.
Tomorrow afternoon we have the Sabres opener against Jersey. Psyched?
Sure. Yeah.
Me too.
Start of a season. Let's go.
Then Saturday, game two, 10 a.m. I don't know what kind of record Luukkonen or any of the Sabres have at 10 a.m. Eastern Time games. Probably not much to look at there. But then, for me, after the game, the ticket draft.
Oh, look at you.
I'm back in the ticket group.
All right.
Today I was looking over the schedule. A lot of different start times for the Sabres than I remember.
I've noticed a couple things. Obviously, I knew they were, you know, a while ago I knew. I think you texted me. In fact, the schedule came out while I was in Spain. And I remember you texted me because I know you're in Spain, but did you look at the Sabres schedule? You know, they're playing the Friday after Thanksgiving in the afternoon or something funny, like for us, yeah. work-wise. You're like, haha.
1:30 home game.
Right. I said, I did... I see that they're playing at 1 o'clock on Friday, the opener, this game tomorrow. And I started to go looking and I went like, I'm in Spain. I will look at the Sabres schedule some other time. And you know what I did? I never did it. Like I still haven't, I never have sat down and like actually looked at, you know, what's what and like work wise or anything other than I know that we're starting late tomorrow because they're playing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Lots of different start times just on their home schedule though. There's a 4 o'clock, there's a 6 o'clock, there's a 5:30 on a Tuesday. Saturday are kind of all over the place, 12:30, 1, some night games. You mentioned the 3 o'clock, Friday after Thanksgiving against the Canucks. But looks good. Leafs are here twice.
All right.
And the whole thing starts tomorrow in Prague, Sabres, Devils.
How soon do we see the Leafs? Because last year we didn't get them until like March or something, I felt like.
The two home games are right before Christmas and then the second to last game of the year.
Okay.
I don't know how many times. I don't have the road schedule, but just trying to figure out tickets, you know? Like, for me, it's back to being a little bit nostalgic. I've gone to a game or two for the last 5 years, but... For a minute there, for a while there, we're going to lots of games.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's interesting to me for this year is Crosby and Ovechkin, especially Ovechkin. And he still needs like 50-some goals, right, to break the record. He's a ways away still, but it's like possible or even likely now. You know, they play here, the Capitals play here, assuming he's not traded.
Mm-hmm.
If he's on the Capitals, January 6th, we're not getting, it's not really in range for him.
I don't know what the number is right now, but I feel like when last year ended, it felt like it would be early in the season after this one, is what I had in my head, if he scores like a sort of a normal Ovechkin-esque pace.
Yeah, so I want to see him one more time at least.
Yeah.
Want to see that game maybe. Pittsburgh too, Crosby re-upped.
Yeah.
Thinking about those guys who are old now.
It's almost nuts to me that those three cats are still together there. Malkin and Letang and Crosby.
It is.
I mean, in this era, that's kind of incredible. And they've been through it like with the other two. Now it was Crosby's turn. But I think last offseason was sort of, what are we going to do with Malkin? What are we going to do with Letang? And they decided to keep going.
Sal Capaccio next. The latest on the injury report, to which Ed Oliver was added today. With an injury apparently suffered in practice. We'll see what Sal knows, and we'll talk some about the latest Davante Adams speculation as well. Right after the update, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.